Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Conclusions, concluding discussions on the manner of deciding lawsuits, sanctioning and resettling legal matters. Whenever any legal transaction has been completed or punishment been inflicted according to the law, he shall sanction it and not annul it. Right? If something's been proper according to the law, then it shouldn't be that because there's some change in how people think and all that, then you make some adjustments and therefore now what? Persons who were fined before are now criminals or who are criminals or not. I mean, it's whatever's been done, whatever punishment's there, if it's according to the law, it was just, he leaves it as it was. You know? He doesn't make any adjustments. And whatever matter his ministers or the judge may settle improperly, that the king himself shall resettle and fine them 1,000 panas, right? So if they've done something, it wasn't settled properly, he'll settle it himself, right? Because they're simply representing him. So if they do it wrong, then he should do it himself. And then they'll be fined. Because it must be according to the law. So it's because it's not that, oh, they decided that, just leave it. No, if it's wrong, it's corrected. If it's right, it's left. Right? Definition of mortal sins. The slayer of a Brahmin, a twice-born man who drinks this spiritous liquor called sura, he who steals the gold of a Brahmin, and he who violates the Guru's bed, must each and all be considered as men who committed mortal sins, mahapaka. So these are the most serious of all the sins, right? So these four, and then one who associates with such persons, that's considered the fifth, right? Disposal of property of mortal sinners. A virtuous king must not take for himself the property of a man guilty of mortal sin. But if he takes it out of greed, he is tainted by that guilt of the offender. In other words, it's a separate treasury that's just for the fines or the properties that come from these mortal sins. Like that. And that's not used for himself. It's not used for anything. That's given in charity or it's just, you know, offered to Varuna by putting it in water, right? But generally, that treasury will be there until the office of king will change, right? Means it's there because he may use it. But if at the end, if it's seen that okay, who's becoming the next king would use it properly, it's left. If it's not, he'll just take it and put it into the water, like that. But it's just not used that. Having thrown such a fine into the water, let him offer it to Varuna, let him bestow it on learned and virtuous Brahmana. Varuna is the lord of punishment, for he holds the scepter even over kings. Brahmana, who has learnt the whole Veda, is the lord of the whole world. In that country where the king avoids taking the property of mortal sinners, men are born in due time and are long lived. And the crops of the husbandmen spring up, each as it was sown, and the children die not, and no misshaped offspring is born. Right. So in other words, if this is going on, it means the government's taking money off of mortal sinners. Otherwise, why would these things be happening? Right. Punishing the innocent and freeing the guilty. When a king punishes an innocent man, his guilt is considered as great as when he sets free a guilty man. But he acquires merit when he punishes justly. Right? So in the beginning, mentions the just punishment must be just. So it must. He has to really know what he's doing. It's not a matter of sentiment. You know, it's just what is the correct thing to do. Right? So guilty person, because the point is, if you let a guilty person go, he'll go free. But the point is that guilt has to go somewhere. So it'll go to the king. So if he wants to let the guy go, fine, but he takes the karma. That's all. It's simple. But the point is why the king should have the karma. The person has done the nonsense, he should get the punishment. Like that. Thus, the manner of deciding suits falling under the 18 titles between two litigant parties has been declared at length. So all of what was before, that's what will come up when people make cases against each other. Right? So that's the thing. So the basis of how you make the decision, or what are the proper kinds of decisions. So topic 18. So yeah, now having done with that, now it's a matter of how the king goes about seeing that there's nobody in the kingdom that makes trouble. Right? As we saw, the criminal lawsuits of thievery, robbery, you know, I say, defamation, assault. What's the fifth one? I think there's a fifth one. Violence, isn't that part of assault? Whatever. So whatever it is, all the bad ones, he'll get into it here. Or even gambling or something. But that. So a king, consolidation and protection of the kingdom. A king who thus duly fulfills his duties in accordance with justice may seek to gain countries which he has not gained, and shall duly protect them when he has gained them. Right? So since you're going to protect them, then you're going to deal with them properly in the first place. You know, it's not that you come in, wipe the whole place out, and now you'll take care of it. Right? You avoid that one. Having duly settled his country and having built forts in accordance with the institutes, he shall use his utmost exertions to remove those men who are noxious like thorns. By protecting those who live as becomes Aryans, and by removing the thorns, kings solely intent on guarding their subjects reach heaven. In other words, you create a protected environment because those who can create trouble aren't there. That the realm of that king who takes his share in kind, though he does not punish thieves, will be disturbed and he will lose heaven. Right? If you're taking your taxes, if you're taking your dues, but you're not punishing or correcting those or protecting those who do wrong and not protecting the people, then you won't get good results from it. It may appear now you get some facility and money, but it'll run out and then you will be very, you know, how you say it? Because it wasn't just you use the money wrong yourself, because the way you use the money, it affects the whole kingdom. So that means for a long time, you won't have the facility to have power, money, position, or anything. It doesn't matter what you do. It's just it won't work out. And all those bad things that happen to the people because of that, that's what will happen to you. You know, so that's why, you know, it's not fair. Why is it happening? Yeah, well, it shouldn't be happening. But that means previously you've done something. Yes.
Maharaj, is it the reason why so many kings were taking Vanaprastha life at the end of their life to purify themselves?
No, that's just a matter of that's anyway, because after 50, you don't really want to get into the little nitty-gritty details anyway. You can still manage, but you want to work on this big level, but you're not connected to the ground, and a king has to be connected to the ground. He has to work on the big and the small. But after 50, you only want to work on the big. You know what I'm saying? The guy's 65 years old. He only sits on the board. He wouldn't even know what the rest of the building looks like. You know what I'm saying? He uses a special elevator, he has a special car, the guy who when he walks out, hello sir, and opens the door, that's all he knows. He wouldn't know what's going on. Right? But before that, he moved up, he knew all the things, he knew the people and all that, so that's why at 50, that's why you're supposed to retire. Because the details are so much. You know, plus he's put in 25 years or more, maybe from when he was 16. You know? So 16 to 50, it's a long time. It's long enough. Let someone else do it. Right? So then he just focuses on his own life. Does that make sense? Right? Because, you know, occupation means ashram goes your whole life, but occupation is only supposed to go from basically when you're married to when you're 50.
Mars, it's interesting. When the Kshatriya conquers the village, then he, after taking away the bottoms, then he protects it nicely.
Yes.
And it's the same principle Bhakti Vinod Thakur was saying about the true critic. You know, it's like not throwing out the whole thing, but maintaining what's good.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it means everything works on the same principle. Just like you go into a business, if something's working good, you keep that. What's not working, that's what you remove. You know, if you just come in and because, you know, someone's running, it's not really working good, you just come in, scrap the whole thing and start from scratch, you know, you're an idiot. You know what I'm saying? So businessmen generally, good businessmen will avoid that. Good administrators will avoid that. Bureaucrats, that's what they love to do. You really feel like you're doing something by... We really did something by throwing out the previous committee like that. We don't exactly know how we're going to replace it, exactly what the committee should do, how it should function, but we did something. We got rid of the old one. And they're like, you know, tickled pink. You know, but that's about it. It's pretty useless. But people who are actually successful don't do that. They go at it, look what's useful, keep that, and what's not useful, make that adjustments there. That's actually how you make it. But that takes intelligence, that takes knowledge, that takes self-control. You know, because you can't do something like this. You have to go in and just see what's happening and then, okay, get it, and then, okay, figure out this is wrong, and then you're running. If you want to be able to walk in the first day and say, hey, I'm here, you know, then...
What do you mean by self-control?
Self-control, it means that you have to, you don't know the situation, so how can you start yelling and screaming? Yeah, yeah. So you just keeping the that there. Plus you have to, you know, not make any rash judgments. Or we're talking about something completely new. Like that. But generally in the kingdom, if it's run according to the proper principles like that, though there may be some weakness, when you take over, you know basically how it runs. So it's very, so you've established your authority. That you do immediately. But how you're going to deal with everybody, you first should know what's happening before you make a comment. You know, it's not because I'm in charge I can comment on anything. You know, there's something wrong with the water cooler and, you know, the quality of the coffee. You know what I mean? That's not your business. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned about retirement at 50. In previous ages, where people lived much longer, would that be...
No, it was 50.
Still 50.
Yeah, because it meant that you had from 50 to 100 to get your spiritual life together. Right?
Previously,
it'd be
50 to 1,000.
Yeah. Oh, I see you mean from that one, that angle. Can't say for sure. But I would expect it's a little longer. Because Yayati then enjoyed for 1,000 years with his son's youth. So basically, probably be half the life is spent for that. But it appears that in any case, that one, still the principle of going to Gurukul at 5 and graduating when one graduates at 25, that still seems to be fixed.
Yes.
But it just means that, you know, the Grihastha life would start then and I guess go for a few thousand years. So you didn't really know what you were doing, you know. You know, people are pretty happy. You know.
One marriage too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, but if his kingdom be secure, protected by the strength of his arms, it will constantly flourish like a well-watered tree, removing the thorns. So now you have to have the definition of thieves. So in other words, thieves, those who will bother others, this is what you're looking at. These are thorns. Let the king who sees everything through his spies discover the two sorts of things, who deprive others of their property, both those who show themselves openly and those who lie concealed. Among them, the open rogues are those who subsist by cheating in the sale of various marketable commodities. But the concealed rogues are burglars, robbers in forests, and so on. Right? In other words, the business scene, that you have to see, because otherwise they cheat there. Their weights are wrong, they inflate the prices, they, you know, say all kinds of things. They give you, say it's one quality, give you another, so you must check all that. And then the others, that's what we're used to is, you know. Because in the modern, they don't label so much them as thieves, you know. Like that, if they do tax fraud or something, they bother the government, that's all. But if they're ripping off the people, really, no one cares. As long as they pay the taxes and everything.
It seems that it was many spies at that time. many people were engaged.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, at this time, there's many spies. You just don't see them. You know, so.
But many people were engaged into doing this.
Of course. I mean, now, even though the bureaucracy, there's tons of things. There's guys watching guys. I mean, you have the police force, and there's guys watching the police force. Why have guys watching the police force? It's like, you know, you have, you know, sometimes four or five different government police agencies that are fighting with each other, and you know whose it is. You know, the CIA, is it the FBI, is it the local state police, is it, you know, this home security, is it this one, is it that one? I mean, it's, you know, it's, they drive each other nuts. So each one has all their people watching what's going on, like that. And then there's the government has their people watching to see what they're all doing. Those who take bribes, cheats and rogues, gamblers, sanctimonious hypocrites. That one's such a good one, isn't it? Sanctimonious hypocrites. Who live by teaching the performance of auspicious ceremonies and fortune tellers. Officials of high rank and physicians who act improperly. Men living by showing their proficiency in arts and clever harlots. These and the like who show themselves openly, as well as others who walk in disguise. Such as non-Aryans who wear the marks of Aryans, he should know to be thorns in the side of his people. Right, so any place where there can be something that goes wrong, where the people end up spending more or not getting the quality of goods that they should have, or you know they just lose it by people stealing it or cheating them out of it, all these should be removed. Otherwise, how do the people live peacefully if they don't have money or they don't have the proper goods, or they have them then they get lose them? Right, the idea is the common person should be able to live peacefully without being cheated. Detection of thieves. Having detected them by means of trustworthy persons, he must bring them into his power. Right, so trustworthy persons, so as discussed before, how you test and all that. They must, you know, be proper. So he's also watching the persons who are watching the persons. Then having caused the crimes which they committed by their several actions, to be proclaimed in accordance with the facts, the king shall duly punish them according to their strength and their crimes. Right. Yes. Oh, you were just... No, the hand... Okay. Vriti, the strength of their crimes includes both the physical severity and the attitude of rebellious insolence. Right, and also according to them. Right, you know, in other words, if they're a very physically powerful person, then there may be stronger punishment. If there's someone who's more weak, it'll be less, because the point of the effect will be the same. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like we have these really hardened criminals and they put them in high security prisons. But you take, you know, one of these, you know, big businessmen, corporate managers and that, and stick them in these really low security prisons. For them, it's the same. It's the same. You mean, you can't go out, you can't do anything. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's that element of the strength is less, so therefore you need less to make them feel. Does that make sense? You know, you generally never hear of much them trying to break out or doing anything like that. The really heavy prisons, that's where they're trying to break out, so because they're more tough people. Like that. Does that make sense? Folks? For the wickedness of evil-minded thieves who secretly prowl over this earth cannot be restrained except by punishment. You can't just tell them, no, don't do this. Be a good boy. They don't care. Assembly houses, houses where water is distributed or cakes are sold, brothels, taverns, and victuallers? Victuallers. Victuallers, shops. That means...
Definition of
victim. Ah, okay. Crossroads, well-known trees, festive assemblies, and playhouses, and concert rooms. Vriti, a victualler is traditionally someone who supplies food or other provisions, victuals, or an innkeeper. In more recent terminology, it is especially applied to one who is licensed to sell alcoholic beverages. But in other ways, it's a place where it's just common you go to get something to eat or something like that. So nowadays, like your pubs or... You know, any of these kind of shops where people are selling food. Because before it was, most people cooked. You know, it wasn't like today, it's easier to go out, you know, why would you cook? You know, you work all day and then you just come back, you know, have a shower and then go out to dinner. like that. You know, this was, people cook, so it was more a thing for travelers or common people who were moving or business or different things like that. You'd have stuff like that.
Victor's, is that, that's a gastropub?
Yeah, it would be one. It means that traditionally it was food was there, but it can also just mean where alcohol is. That's why it says there's taverns, you know, and then food. But it's also the things, cakes are sold, water's distributed. It means these are all places where people gather, and you won't worry that people are gathering there. An assembly house, if all kinds of people show up, you're not going to say, why are all these people coming? Or where water's distributed and there's people there drinking or people sitting around, no one's going to say anything. Right, where you know, cakes, sweets, and those are, people are hanging out, talking, you're not going to say anything. Does that make sense? So all these places, crossroads, you know, that's, people are going, you know, if you kind of, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm going that way. Where are you? I'm going this way. You know, so it's not only going to, well-known trees, so they're famous places where people come and sit or do worship or something. So people are hanging around, no one will say anything. Right? Festivals, playhouses, concert rooms, so all these places, no one will mind, but these are the places where you have to watch. Old gardens, right, because they're really developed and, you know, there's lots of places to hide inside, they're very big. Forests, the shops of artisans, empty dwellings, natural and artificial groves. These and the like places the king shall cause to be guarded by companies of soldiers, both stationary and patrolling, and by spies in order to keep away thieves. Right, so you have some sort of policing element there, just so it's, you know, they know it, you can't just be too open about it. But at the same time, is you have to have spies there. So it's not enough that you have police there, you have to have spies there also. Right? Because the people may be more careful that they don't do things, whatever they're doing. By the means of clever reformed thieves, who associate with such rogues, follow them and know their various machinations, you must detect and destroy them. So if you, thieves that you can reform, they're the best ones to catch other thieves. Because they know the lingo, they know the dress, they know everything, so they can just hang out there and no one will think otherwise. And so then they just arrange everything and then you let the police know and then they take care of them. Apprehension and punishment. A just king shall not cause a thief to be put to death unless taken with the goods stolen in his possession. Him who is taken with the stolen goods and the implements of burglary, he may without hesitation cause to be slain. Although all those also in villages give food to thieves and grant them room for concealing their implements, he shall cause to be put to death. Because otherwise they're also thieves. They may, you know, because they're also, because the point is if the thief can't get rid of his goods, what's the meaning? I could steal a car, but then now what do I do with it? I'm stealing the car to make money. So if there's no one to sell it to, you know, so there's people that also, you know, take care of all that, give you places, all that, then it's the whole thing. So you have to get rid of everybody. Those who are appointed to guard provinces and his vassals who have been ordered to help, he shall speedily punish like thieves if they remain inactive and attacked by robbers. Right? So in other words, those who are supposed to protect the people don't protect the people, then they have to be punished. Moreover, if a man who subsists by the fulfillment of the law departs from the established rule of the law, the king shall severely punish him by a fine because he violated his duty. Right? So if he's living by the law, then he's there. If he's not, he's living out in the out in the forest, and that, as long as he doesn't bother anybody else, then, you know, it doesn't matter. Those who do not give assistance according to their ability when a village is being plundered, a dike is being destroyed, or a highway robbery committed, shall be banished with their goods and chattels. Right? So he won't be punished, but it's just they shouldn't be around. If people are having trouble and help is needed and you don't help, then why you should be around? Basically, you probably have to get rid of all of New York or something. And those who rob the king's treasury, and those who persevere in opposing his commands, he shall inflict various kinds of capital punishment. Likewise, on those who conspire with his enemies. In other words, if there's treason and other things, then that's dealt with very severely. Him who breaks the dam of a tank shall repair the damage. but shall be made to pay the highest amercement. Right? Because the tank is there for everybody. Or it's there for a purpose. So it's an auspicious thing. It's a pious thing to create them. So to break those, then you'll have to fix it and pay whatever is the highest fine. The highest amercement means it's, you know, the triple. So it's quite high. Those who break into a royal storehouse, an armory, or a temple, and those who steal elephants, horses, or chariots, you shall slay without hesitation. Because these are your worst kind of, you know, how you say, no one likes horse rustlers, right? Like that. They just didn't know about elephant rustlers. Right? The royal storehouse, because that'll be used for, you know, protecting the people. Armories that you break into there, what are they going to get? They're going to get arms. That means why would they need arms? Right? Unless they're going to do something against the government. A temple, that's meant for worshiping God. No one should bother a temple. Right? Elephants, horses, chariots, these are the things that people move around on. So then, that's yeah.
Would in the modern day, would automobiles also go in there?
Yeah. So in other words, you wouldn't have... In other words... You couldn't make Grand Theft Auto into a game, you know, because if you lose, then, you know.
In some parts of the world, they kneecap the car thieves, they remove their walking capability for a car theft, so it's gone down.
Yeah, no, these things work. I mean, that's the thing, they work, you know, but the point is that people say, no, but he's, you know, like this, so. Point is, if these are in place, but the point is, as we see, it's constantly being said that it has to be just. It has to be exactly according to the crime, according to the person, the situation, everything. So that means you really have to each case take into consideration. But if you apply it right, you reduce the crime, so it's actually able to be controlled on that quality of level. But if you don't, it expands so much that you can't actually put in the effort. So that's the thing. So it has to be kept strict so that, because people will always do something wrong. That's just going to happen. But it'll be controllable, and it won't be so much that it'll bother the people. As soon as it comes up, you catch it. But he who, except in a case of extreme necessity, drops filth on the king's high road shall pay a fine and immediately remove that filth. But a person in urgent necessity, an aged man, a pregnant woman, or a child, shall be reprimanded and clean the place. That is the settled rule. Right? In other words, no garbage or other stuff on the government roads. Right? All physicians who treat their patients wrongly shall pay a fine. In the case of animals, the first or lowest. In the case of human beings, the middlemost. For adulterating unadulterated commodities and for breaking gems or for improperly boring them, the fine is the first or lowest amercement. But that man who behaves dishonestly to honest customers or cheats in his prices shall be fined in the first or in the middlemost amercement. He who sells for seed corn that which is not seed corn, he who takes up seed already sown, and he who destroys a boundary mark shall be punished. For the theft of agricultural implements, of arms, and of medicines, let the king award punishment, taking into account the time of the offense and the use of the object. Means, why is he stealing it? Right? And, you know, why is that there? He steals medicine, so what is the consideration? You know, if somebody's going to benefit from it, somebody's sick, or then these are considered, and then you work it out. If they're stealing because then they can make profit off of it, then they'll get heavier punishment. Concluding discussions on Kshatriya Dharma, the seven limbs of the kingdom. The king, his minister, his capital, his realm, his treasury, his army, and his ally are the seven constituent parts of the kingdom. Hence the kingdom is said to have seven limbs. But let him know that among these seven constituent parts of a kingdom, which have been enumerated in due order, each earlier named is more important, and its destruction the greater calamity. Right? In other words, if you lose an ally, that's bad, but it's not as bad as losing his army, which is not as bad as losing his treasury, because the treasury you can make in the army, right? But if you have the realm, then you can get money, you can get the treasury. right? And then if you have his capital, that will can control the realm. Because if you have the capital, you can gain back the rest of it. You lose the capital, at least if you have your minister, then you can plan with the minister, right? You lose the minister, if you have the king, then he can somehow or another still start the whole thing again. You lose the king, it's over, right? Yet, in a kingdom containing seven constituent parts, which is upheld like the triple staff of an ascetic, there is no single part more important than the others, by reason of the importance of the qualities of each for the others. In other words, each one has something unique it adds to the whole, you know, running of the kingdom. So each one has to be there. All it's saying is that if it's really difficult, then you know that the lower one can be lost for the next one up. But you shouldn't lose any of them because you need all seven, right? Without the ally, how do you protect? But if the ally's there, then your army is strong. Then you can work together, right? The army is then protects everything. It protects the king, the minister, the capital, the realm, you know, his ally. The treasury is by which he runs himself, the minister, the capital, his realm, the army, and the ally, right? His realm's there, otherwise, whereas he, his minister, his capital, his army, and because you're in that place, that's how it makes you an ally with someone and an enemy with another. Does that make sense? Without the minister, how do you... So each one is important to the whole thing. So it's simply pointing out you need all seven, so it's not, oh, that's the lowest one, it doesn't matter. No, you need all seven. But if it need be, then from the bottom up, then things might be lost. Also, notice here is that the triple staff of an ascetic. It didn't say the single staff, right? In other words, Tridandi sannyas is the Vedic sannyas. This Ekadandi is newer. But the Vedic standard is Tridandi. For each part is particularly qualified for the accomplishment of certain objects, and thus each is declared to be the most important for that particular purpose which is affected by its means. Yeah, so what the army does, it does that the best. It'll do it better than any of the other seven. So therefore, it's the most important for doing that job. So that's why each one should be taken care of nicely. Accomplishment of objectives. By spies, by a pretended display of energy, and by carrying out various undertakings, let the king constantly assert his own and ascertain his own and his enemy's strength. Moreover, let him begin his operations after he has fully considered all calamities and vices and their relative importance. Right? In other words, he just doesn't feel like doing something and, hey, let's do this. Like that. No, he considers everything, what would be the problems that go with it, what are the benefits, and after he's convinced of it all, then he establishes. But he doesn't delay either. Something that should be done is immediately done. But he does it with consideration, it's not by whim. Though he be ever so much tired by repeated failures, let him begin his operations again and again. For fortune greatly favors the man who strenuously exerts himself in his undertakings. Right? So it doesn't matter. Even if things aren't working out, you keep going. Because it's only by effort that you get results. So if you're not getting results, it's not going to come by doing nothing. Right? It's going to come by consistently doing results. Okay? The personal behavior of kings. The various ways in which a king behaves resemble the Krita, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali ages. Hence the king is identified with the ages of the world. Sleeping, he represents the Kali, or ironing age. Walking, the Dwapara, or brazen age. Ready to act, the Treta, or silver age. But moving actively, the Krita, or golden age. Okay. So that would mean, basically, according to this, then, you know, the holy name and sleeping are the best attributes of the Kali Yuga, right? Let the king emulate the energetic action of Indra, of the sun, of the wind, of Yama, of Varuna, of the moon, of fire, and of the earth. As Indra sends copious rains during the 4 months of the rainy season, even so let the king, taking upon himself the office of Indra, shower benefits on his kingdom. Right? If he just manages and doesn't benefit the kingdom, then why would people be inspired? Right? So in other words, he represents these eight demigods, so he has to act according to them. That's how he represents. Not that he represents the sun, he represents the moon, so he just sits there. No, he represents the sun because he does what the sun does. He represents the moon because he does what the moon does. As the sun, during 8 months, imperceptibly draws up the water with its rays, even so let him gradually draw his taxes from his kingdom, for that is the office in which he resembles the sun. Right? In other words, imperceptibly. Means he's drawing it all up. That's how you have the rain clouds. You don't notice it. It's slowly going, but it's not a disturbance. You know, it's not like, you know, you had a nice pond there, you know, and then, you know, you sat there, you know, in the evening with your friends talking. You go in the morning, you come out, and it's gone because, you know, it got sucked up by the sun. You know, so, you know it doesn't work like that. Vriti, Parasara Muni states, 159. As a flower man strings a garland of flowers by culling one from each flower plant in the garden, so a king shall raise his revenue by imposing a light tax on his individual subjects without inflicting hardship on any. He shall not be like a charcoal man who fells all the trees in a garden and reduces them to ashes. Yes, the charcoal men have already been charcoal men, right? As the wind moves everywhere, in other words, it's according to what is the position, what tax can be taken, what is every how prosperous things are going, then he takes more. More prosperity takes more. Less prosperity takes less. As the wind moves everywhere, entering in the shape of the vital air, all created beings, even so let him penetrate everywhere through his spies. That is the office in which he resembles the wind. Because he has to know what's going on. You know, so if good's going on, then he can be confident. If bad's going on, then he has to correct it. As Yama, at the appointed time, subjects to his rule both friends and foes, even so all subjects must be controlled by the king. That is the office in which he resembles Yama. As the sinner is seen bound with ropes by Varuna, let him punish the wicked. That is his office in which he resembles Varuna. He is a king taking upon himself the office of the moon, whose appearance his subjects greet with great joy, as men feel on seeing the full moon. So if he comes out to the public, people here, and they're happy to see him, that's that office. So, which means if he comes out into public, you start throwing cabbages and stuff like that, then that's not the office of the moon, like that.
Rahu.
Yeah, and especially if they moon him, then that's really not good. Yeah. If he is ardent with wrath against criminals and endowed with brilliant energy and destroys wicked vassals, then his character is said to resemble that of fire. Right? Because in other words, he moves very, very, very quickly against these things, right? Because fire is very brilliant and very, very aggressive. So when it comes to these like fire, he just immediately catches and destroys, elements that are bad. As the earth supports all created beings equally, thus a king who supports all the subjects takes upon himself the office of the earth. Employing these and other means, the king shall, ever untired, restrain thieves both in his own domains and in those of others. Because the point is he has to know what's going on in the other kingdom. So he may even get rid of thieves and stuff in another kingdom because those thieves are going to come to your kingdom. So you know that they're making plans in their kingdom, not the king, but I'm just saying there's thieves that are there. And they're making some arrangements, then they're going to come over to your kingdom. So you get rid of him in his kingdom, not in your kingdom. Why wait until he gets to your kingdom? You get rid of him there. Like that, yes.
The modern theory is that by appointing personality to things, you're just becoming primitive. But here, the traditional way is if you say the king is going to follow these qualities, then he has a role model. He has to like so many things.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Well, you're dealing with people, so people like to deal with people. Like that. So that's the whole point. Like you even see in countries that are a monarchy, but it's actually a... What do you call it? Constitutional monarchy. Mm-hmm. Means the king doesn't actually run the place. Mm-hmm. But people like it. They don't want to change it. They like their king because there's a person. Because mm-hmm. The other one is, okay, the person's there, but they can come and go. But it's like let's say you have the President of the United States, okay? But what do you know about him? All that you know is that, you know, he comes out in public, he does these works, he made these decisions, you know, something came up, he was tough on that, or he was very kind with this. That's all you know in his office. But when he, when the day is over and he goes into his private quarters, you know nothing about him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's not that he's technically as such so much a person, but still there has to be a person there. Because he only deals with part of the governance, right? You have the other houses and that, the, you know, the Congress and the Senate and all these different things and the judges. So he's only one third of the government. But the, you, that you like. People don't talk about Congress. Right? They don't talk about the Senate because who's the person? Right? Judges are a little smaller, but very rarely they talk about them either. But the president, then they talk about it. He's just a person, but you don't see him in his life. So it's very much appreciated when he comes out and they go to some kind of big program or this or that. And then you see him and he's there and about. People like that. So the point is they use it because people are people. They like people. So it's just natural. So if they try to get rid of that, then they're not actually very smart.
It was the idea that in Kali Yuga, the king is like sleeping. When the king is sleeping, he represents...
No, but he represents, it means because he has to sleep. So when he's asleep, he represents Kali Yuga.
Ah,
when
yes.
He's walking, he represents Dwapara
Yuga. Okay.
When he's ready to act, that's like Treta.
Okay.
And when he's moving actively, that's the... In other words, ready to act as Treta, but actually moving, then that's Krita.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So just in other words, he rests properly, you know, he walks, he's ready to act, and he acts. So all those four aspects he's doing. And then the aspects of the demigods. Mm-hmm. Behavior towards Brahmins. Let him not, though fallen into the deepest distress, provoke Brahmins to anger. For they, when angered, could instantly destroy him together with his army and his vehicles. That especially in previous ages, you know. Just, there was no, the point was, is the Brahmins were the top. They were the most powerful, but they weren't interested in administration. You know, it's just like, I think it was, what was it? Chavana. Yeah, I think it was Chavana. Chavana Muni. You have Chavan Prash?
Yes.
So it's made out of Chavana Muni. So he's the one that the king and his family, you know, his retinue were out in the forest and his daughter found kind of this anthill and there were, you know, it looked like glowing bugs inside. So he took a stick and, you know, and poked them, you know, but happened to be, you know, Chavana was in there and those were his eyes. So then he went to the king and complained. But the king is like, you know, what are we going to do with this? Because he came and said, you know, since your daughter may be blind and I can't do anything, then your daughter should marry me and take care of me. You know, like that. You know, the king is like, you know what, forget it. Because he was old also. You know, he wasn't like a young sage. He was quite old. So he says, you know, kings, forget it. You know, or not. So then Chavana, okay. So no one in the kingdom, king on down, couldn't pass stool. You know, so a day or two goes by and then they start, okay. Because it's the whole kingdom. So, you know, it's just letting them know. Like that. Then it's okay, no problem. When's the marriage? Yeah, so like that. But you know, there's other situations where the Brahmins, they completely, Parasaram, he's a good example. Don't mess with the Brahmins. Right? You know, so that's the position. Plus, it means either they themselves will do it, or because it's, you know, displeasing to the Lord, then, you know, the modes of nature will take care of it. So in either case, you get into problem if you disturb the Brahmins. Right? Who could escape destruction when he provokes the anger, provokes to anger those men by whom the fire was made to consume all things? Right? I forget who it was did that. I can't remember if it was Agastya or someone. That they cursed Agni, that he went. What did he do? Maybe it was Bhrigu. It was something, because Agni was there as the fire, and then something, oh yeah, that's right. What if, again, maybe it was Bhrigu. Maybe it was his son, a grandson. It was one of that line. So Agni is there, someone came and took his wife. But then Agni was afraid because the person told him, don't say anything. Right? He's just there as fire in the kund. But the person who came and took the wife told fire, don't say anything, because they know Agni's there and he sees everything. You know? And so then when the person came back and asked, he didn't say anything. Like that. So then he was cursed that then he has to eat anything. You know, he says, you know, so that was the problem for him. So that's the... By whom the water of the ocean was made undrinkable, and by whom the moon was made to wane and increase again. Because right? The moon, he had 27 daughters. I mean, 27 wives. And so he was only paying attention to Rohini. So he was cursed by the father that, you know, he would be impotent. Like that. So that's why then he just went, you know, it was just permanent new moon. Otherwise it was always full moon. Then it was permanent new moon. And so then... by behaving nicely, then, Bhrigu, cursed on him. So then, what do you call it? So then the arrangement was made that, you know, every day he would get more and then he would go less, like that, you know, so that way he's, that's what I said, you know, when he's full, he's very happy, right? Who could prosper while he injures those men who provoked to anger could create other worlds and other guardians of the world? And deprive the gods of their divine station. What man, desirous of life, would injure them to whose support the three worlds and the gods ever owe their existence and whose wealth is the Veda? The three worlds and the gods ever owe their existence to Brahmins due to their performance of sacrifice. Because the Brahmins are performing that, therefore, that's why the universe is actually going on properly. Right? Because you see, the demons, when they want to get the demigods or get Vishnu, right? Immediately, the first thing is, get the Brahmins and cows, because if you get rid of them, then the universe won't be maintained, so then they'll fall from their positions. What they don't understand is that, you know, Vayu, you know, controls their life air also. You know, they're a little stupid like that. You know? But a Brahmin, be he ignorant or learned, is a great divinity. Just as the fire, whether carried forth for the performance of a burnt oblation or not carried forth, is a great divinity. Right, so if you make a big, you know, big show or not, the fire still has its position. The brilliant fire is well, here it means ignorant. That means he may not know so much Shastra, but he understands the purpose of it. Right? It means he's not a scholar, but he actually understands the import. The brilliant fire is not contaminated even in burial places, and when prescribed, presented with oblations of butter at sacrifices, it again increases mightily. Thus, though Brahmins employ themselves in all kinds of mean occupations, they must be honored in each and every way, for each of them is a very great deity. Right? So even though they may do a variety of activities, if they're, you know, they're practicing that Brahminical lifestyle, still, then you have to be careful. Because as we remember in the Shraddha rites, then it gives, you know, it was like a page or more, I can't remember, three pages, but I think in small print it's less, but when it's in full print it's like three pages of occupations that Brahmins may take up that actually they're not qualified to do Shraddha rites, like that. And so, you know.
Whereas it seems like this civilization is amazing, you know, how things work smoothly and the reactions are much, it's like normal that things are going on nicely. And then
yes.
You look at Kali Yuga and the reaction, you know, people deformed babies, cancer, car crashes, and it's like very heavy reactions, but one takes it as normal, you know, these horrible things going on, but it's actually...
Yeah, but the things that'll change it, then people aren't interested in either, because they think that something else will create it, you know. So that's the thing, is that the... Before it was that they were very strong with elements that would create a disturbance for society. They're very mild with other elements, like that. But in the present age, you're very very more lenient with those who are actually causing trouble, and the others, then, you know, positions of authority of that, then you're very strict with them. You know, so it's things get turned upside down. You know, it's just like before, as there was a set tax. If you're working in a particular area of business, you paid a certain percent. So if you have a small business, you paid that percent. If you had a huge business, you paid the same percent. But now as they get bigger, they pay less and less tax. But it should be, they're paying more tax. Not more tax, they should pay the same tax. You know what I'm saying? If instead of paying, you know, whatever it is, the 20%, that he's only paying 2%. But the volume of what he's making is so great, his paying of 20% would be equivalent to thousands and thousands of businesses. Right, so instead they tax these small businesses more and these big businesses not. So then it's not balanced. Okay. When the Kshatriyas became in any way overbearing towards the Brahmanas themselves shall duly restrain them. For the Kshatriyas sprang from the Brahmanas. Fire sprang from water. Kshatriyas from Brahmins. Iron from stone. And the all-penetrating force of those three has no effect on whence they were produced. Right? Means in the ocean you have the subterranean fire. So it's the ocean has produced it. Right? Like that. That's why water can put out fire.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's South Pole, but it's the subterranean, so it's definitely under the ocean. You know, so whether that means, you know, the salt ocean or whether, you know, but it's, I'm not sure. But all I know is it's under the ocean, so if that puts it down in Antarctica, fine.
They have those smokers, you know, there's like thermal things under the ocean. They have all different life forms. There's no light, but because it's hot,
No, that's all that. Because there's fire. The whole principle is underwater you find fire.
Marcy, did you just say that that's created by water and therefore water can put it out?
Yeah.
Just like there's some different sun rays that create different weather patterns, so the sun, water creates fire?
It just means that this is where it's sprung from. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily that it's controlling all that, but because fire is controlled by Agni, not by Varuna. Kshatriyas prosper not without Brahmins. Brahmins prosper not without Kshatriyas. Brahmins and Kshatriyas being closely united prosper in this world and in the next. So you have to have both. Because the point is the Brahmins have the knowledge, but it has to be applied. The Kshatriyas want to apply it, but they need direction. Because when you're busy applying it, sometimes you miss the detail. Retirement. But a king who feels his end drawing nigh shall bestow all his wealth accumulated from fines on Brahmins. Make over his kingdom to his son, and then seek death in battle. Right, so here is, you know, shall bestow all his wealth accumulated from fines on Brahmins. Right. So in other words, that's not what he'll use. Because you're getting taxes, you're getting dues, you're getting those things. So those are the things that are used for running the kingdom. You know, fines in that are used for charity. And it says the ones that fines for mortal sins, those are only bestowed on really powerful Brahmins. Like that. It's not used for general stuff. So that itself might be thrown in water. Vritti, Parasar Muni states, 339. Mendicant yogis, Pariva Jakas, and heroes killed in battle without scars on the backs are the two kinds of men whose souls, penetrating right through the solar disk, ascend to the higher regions. Right? So sannyasis and then kings killed in battle. That means killed, you know, doing something, not, you know, running away. Conclusion of Kshatriya Dharma. Thus, conducting himself and ever intent on discharging his royal duties, a king shall order all his servants to work for the good of his people. Right? And if they don't work, then they should be corrected. Thus the eternal law concerning the duties of a king have fully been declared. know that the following rules apply in due order to the duties of Vaishyas and Shudras, right? Because the first six chapters were dealing with the ashram dharma, right? And so now these last six, then they deal with the varna dharma, right? So then this is chapter 9. So basically speaking, 7, 8, and 9 were concerning kshatriyas, right? So now we'll get into the duties of Vaishya dharma. So it takes up basically half a page. After Vaishya has received the sacraments and has taken a wife, because you don't have to explain him again, right? Because he goes through the same elements of ashram, just like the kshatriya will deal with the ashram dharma. So the Vaishya will deal with the ashram dharma, right? Has taken a wife, he shall be always attentive to the business whereby he may subsist and to that of tending cattle. For when the Lord of creatures, Prajapati, created cattle, he made them over to the Vaishya. To the Brahmins and to the king he entrusted all created beings. Right? So the cattle was entrusted to the Vaishyas, but the people were entrusted to the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. So the Brahmins would educate them, the Kshatriyas would protect them. Right? And so the animals then you have to protect, you don't have to educate them. So it works out. A Vaishya must never conceive this wish. I will not keep cattle. And if a Vaishya is willing to keep them, they must never be kept by men of other castes. Riti, they must never be kept by men of other castes. Means they should not be kept as an occupation. Right? It means everybody will have cows, but it's just for their own family. Right? They get milk from the cows and this and that, or they plow their own field or this. But to do it as occupation to generate economics. And that only Vaishyas should do that. Because if Vaishyas aren't willing to do it, others may do it. But if they're willing to do it, then the others wouldn't do it. A Vaishya must know the respective. So that's his position. Then these are the things that he should know, right, for doing his duty. He must know the respective value of gems, of pearls, of coral, of metals, of cloth made of thread, of perfumes, and of condiments. Right, because these are all things you're either going to buy and sell in, or you be using yourself. You must be acquainted with the manner of sowing seeds, and of the good and bad qualities of fields. And you must perfectly know all the measures and weights. Right, because if you can't calculate things and know how they work and how you'll work the thing, then you're going to lose money. Moreover, the excellence and defects of commodities, the advantages and the disadvantages of different countries, the probable profit and loss on merchandise, and the means of properly rearing cattle. Right? So these are all the things of how he's going to make, means the quality of things are there, and then how you can make profit and stuff, because it means the quality and excellence and defects of commodity. Because something makes it more and something is a defect. So if it has a defect, you have to sell it for cheaper. If it has the excellence, you can sell it for more. Right? So he has to know all those things, because one is this one thing to sell them, but two, he has to buy them first. So if he doesn't know, right, and then he's sold defective material and told that it's good, then he goes to sell it good, then people who know it, then they won't buy it, or he'll be counted as cheating. So he has to know these things. He must be acquainted with the proper wages of servants, right, because it's not just as you please, right, with the various languages of men, because if you're in some place you have to deal, like in Calcutta, then they'll deal with their own families in speaking Marwari. They'll deal with the laborers who are Bihari, so they'll talk Bhojpuri. But it's in Bengal, so they have to talk with everybody there. Plus, when you're doing business, much of it's in English, so they have to know all these. So the good businessmen, they know many languages. With the manner of keeping goods, because if you don't keep them properly, they go bad. And the rules of purchase and sale. Right, you know how it works, because otherwise if you don't follow it, then you might get cheated. Let him exert himself to the utmost in order to increase his property in a righteous manner, and let him zealously give food to all created beings. Right, so he must work to his best to make how much money he can, but at the same time as he should be feeding, you know, people very nicely, distributing food or, you know, charity, these kind of things.
Maharaj, I heard about one thing about this proper buying and selling on the internet, people selling these like self-help books or you know, books like that, and they price them just below what is what you're gonna apply to this small claims court for. Like it's just lower than that, so you can't get the help of the small claims court. You know, if
it's not good,
it's
cheap.
Yeah, so like that, you know, this kind of things.
Good to know, right?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm just amazed, you know, when people are doing this.
No. You want to hear something amazing. So, one Indian businessman, you know, he was in the shoe business. So, he went to, you know, so the local shoes are there, but he was into selling, you know, imported shoes. So he went to like Italy or something, because they're famous for shoes. Bought 1,000 pairs of shoes. And then they packed them, all the right shoes in one lot, and all the left shoes in a completely different lot, and sent them at different times. Like that. So then they just came in to Bombay. You know, like that. There hasn't been any, you know, proper paperwork. There's no taxes been paid. So immediately it's confiscated. Right? And so then they, you know, so then anything that's done like that, then they have this particular market where people come and you can't see what's in there or know what it is, and they sell it. You know, good prices, cheap prices. But the problem was, is this was all just left shoes. So no one wanted to buy it. So this one guy came and, you know, threw out whatever's a minimum price like that, and he bought it. And then he waited for the other time when they confiscated the right shoes. You know, I mean, like that, and then bought those. So he got them in the country very cheap, way less than the taxes he would have to pay, and now he has 1,000 Italian shoes, you know, to sell. That's a Mawari. Yes.
So let's say someone did not have knowledge of the Varnashram rites, and their natural tendency is a Sastra, but they keep on endeavoring to do Vaishnava work. What would happen to them?
It just depends. It means if they don't have the opportunity to do intellectual work or you know, brahminical work, then they would, that's what just, they do their best at that and whatever they can get from that. But if they have the opportunity, then they should take that up. They'll feel more satisfied. Because otherwise, if their nature is not that of a Vaishya, it won't be satisfying to them. Right? Does that make sense? But you have to just see, if they are brahminical by nature, then it may be that they have something where they can give advice or do things like that in there. So it's working within knowledge or education, but within the economic field. Yes.
Dissatisfaction is, well, this material world is doing nothing for me, I'm going to turn to God anyway.
That's the soul. The second one is just the nature of the soul, that no matter how much you have or facility you have, you'll never be satisfied. But the other one is just it's not satisfying because it's not really your work. But the point is if you're making millions, then that means then you can adjust things so that you can use your time more how you would like. You know what I'm saying? Because once the business is established, you know, then with minimal effort, then you have maximum time you can use for properly performing the brahminical duties.
Like, are there situations where there are sastrias, for example, that is very successful in business, and then they do that part, and then later on in life, towards their real nature?
If there's not the facility to do it their own, then yes, it'll work like that. But if they have they have the facility, they don't take it, there's every chance they'll still be attached at the end of life. So that's the point, is if the opportunity is there and the kings should see that they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, because the point is, if he's making millions, how much does a Brahmin actually need? So if he's made millions and he's so good at money, then he can invest that money and put it away, and then he can just go back to brahminical activity. You know, if you've got millions properly invested, then you could sit at the temple all day.
But then they probably get to a point where they're too attached to making
So that's the whole point. So that's where then that's the danger of it. It means it comes up in the next chapter. Yeah, the next chapter anyway. These points are discussed. Yes.
So Vaishya is not going to Gurukul. Where is?
No, he's going to Gurukul. It says after he's received the sacraments and has taken a wife. So one of the sacraments is Upanayana. Oh, so he's gone to Gurukul.
Otherwise, he's mainly learning from his family members.
Yeah, after Gurukul. Because business, you can't learn business in a school. Yeah. It means all the guys who learn MBAs, they're hired by businessmen.
Yeah, yes.
Means the economic educational community cannot create one Vaishya. That's not their business. They're creating people who educated persons in the art of business who work for Vaishyas. Right, because the point is technically, even if Vaishya can't read and write, he'll hire somebody. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. He's clever enough, he can do, you know, it's just, that's what they do. So the point is you go to Gurukul to learn character, because you require it to do business. Because if you can't plan, okay, we take this and we invest for the next 3 years, and then like this and that, then you're going to, as soon as you get profit, spend it, and then it's not going to work. Like with these traditional businessmen, if they're living opulently, they're making a ridiculous amount of money. And if they're making how much money a normal business would be doing, they live as if they're poor. So the distance between what they make and how they live is so great. You know. It's not like here they're making a little bit so you live, you know, no. Because then if something goes wrong, then everything drops. So they're this much because that much is invested. And then when that makes more, then they start moving it up. So they keep that gap. You know? Does that make sense? Now they show more. But this was, you know, in the 70s, 80s. You couldn't tell the difference between a really rich person and a common gentleman, except for certain slight things. The kind of cloth they were wearing was finer. It was just as clean and just as white, you know, everybody looked that. They like that. You know, instead of, you know, having plastic buttons or that, you know, you'd have, you know, gold ones with diamonds in it. You know, like that. Little things like that. Or if you have the super fine cloth that has the ruffles on the thing. It means they would take it and there's a special thing that you rub it with and it puts these wrinkles. You know, people don't do it anymore. But you know, they had these little fine, you had to really be careful and see how they moved, how they held themselves. Then you knew that this was somebody aristocratic. Otherwise, you couldn't tell. You know, you go to their house and, you know, for you know, because they'll give you a drink, so they give you pomegranate juice in a silver glass, solid silver glass, you know. So then you know, okay, this guy's rich. You know. Otherwise, they don't do those things. But, Oh, over the time. Okay, I guess we'll finish it tomorrow. Once we got, and then down to the Shudra Dharma, we have two verses here, you know, so. Okay, so we'll do that tomorrow. So otherwise, just in case some questions come up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaurakini.